Welcome to Culture Unfit. My name is Nikia Riviak, and if you've ever felt constrained by culture's expectations of who you should be, what you should do, or what constitutes good, bad, or ugly while showing up in the workplace, then this podcast is for you. Welcome, my beautiful misfits. Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural episode of Culture Unfit. I am exceptionally thrilled to be joining you all today in conversation. As I said in the introduction, this is a podcast that's really meant to welcome in the beautiful misfits at work, to celebrate them and to connect you all in conversation about a theme or topic, a challenge that many of us have faced in navigating our way through work, through new teams, through organizational cultures. One thing I want to just say before I introduce you to today's theme is that while I am not a trained coach, nor am I a therapist, what I am is a passionate people lover and team builder who has spent many, many, many years trying to understand how to bring out the best in people while really helping them find ways to stay unique and awesome. And so it's important that you know that this is going to be a conversation born out of my ideas and my experiences. But I welcome you to do your own homework if what I say in one episode doesn't resonate. If there are resources that you want to share with the community, and that's why we've established a little bit of a social media presence, creating the handle at Culture Unfit across Twitter and Instagram. So we welcome you to continue the conversation there. Now, today's theme is one that I think many of us can relate to because we've all at some point had to join something new, a new team, a new company. And with that comes finding out what their ways of working are and figuring out how to show up inside of that. And there often isn't a playbook that makes it very easy for us. And so before I turn you over to the submission from this beautiful misfit within our community, please listen with open ears and keep in mind that this person has been brave in sharing their story. So let's take a listen.
In one of my jobs where I just started, and it was a global role, working cross-functionally with other markets across the globe, right after I started, one day I received an email from one of the local markets from one of my counterparts seeking guidance, advice, and opinion regarding a certain matter. And they were asking what I thought was the right approach, just to share my feedback. You know, very boldly, I have let them know, hey, you know what? This is how we can approach it. This is why we should approach or this or pick one option over the other. You know, this is based on my previous experience. And I caveated a lot. And I don't know, I felt the need to caveat because I was a new person, even though I'm experienced and a senior professional, senior in my role. It's just as a woman, I thought I had to caveat it because just in case it conflicts with my manager's response, I just want to put my best foot forward. And I sent that email and they really appreciated that. However, I had my one-on-one with my manager within a couple of days. One of the topics that was discussed was my response to that email. And I was asked not to jump in or reply. And it was strange to me, like, why shouldn't I be sharing my thoughts, sharing my expertise when I'm asked to, when someone asks me to? And they said, no, you don't have to always reply to them. Just because someone, a market is asking expertise from you. It was a little bit aggressive than I expected. And I didn't think like that would be an issue and that would be a topic of discussion in my one-on-one. Like, why did I feel the need to respond, even though the email was kind of addressed to me and my manager, but I feel like he may have felt threatened to some extent, but he could have handled a different way.
Pause. I'm so sorry to interrupt the caller's story. However, I want listeners to really pay attention to that last point because we're going to come back to it at the end.
It sounded to me like it just played dumb, like you're a new person. You don't know this company as good as I do. you should exert yourself. I was immediately demotivated, and it kept me from participating in meetings just because there was this voice in my head. I was like, oh, you can't, even though you are an expert in your field. That was a bad experience, like right out of the gate, starting a new job.
Whew, that was a lot, and a lot that must have felt so incredibly stressful at the time. And I want to say how sorry I am to the caller for having gone through that, but also to anyone who's experienced something similar. Your reaction, the feeling of being demotivated, and then that action that you took because of it, which is reducing your participation in meetings and in group discussions, totally understandable, totally valid, especially when you're not given a clear explanation as to why to stop doing something. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're nodding your head and you're thinking, wow, that hurt, or I've been through it, know that you're not alone. That's the first thing. I think the thing that is at the crux of this is the opportunity for both managers and the people who report into them to understand how to give and seek feedback in a way that is clear. And that, I think, is the element of management that is often very, very difficult to master, if not like the most difficult thing to master. So in thinking about this story, this particular scenario, I imagine that wanting to respond because an email was addressed to you shouldn't necessarily make anybody bat an eyelid or think that like there's something going on wrong here. Now, when you're entering a new team, there may be dynamics at play between those who've been there before, the sender of the email, the other people who are on the email, that you're not privy to. Maybe even decisions that have been made in the past that you might want to try and figure out, you know, what those are, what those were, so that you can appropriately position your response. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. The thing that I want to note is that for the managers who are listening to this podcast, or the people in the scenario who might say, oh, that was a little bit too premature, that response, you know, I wish you had talked to me. The opportunity is to figure out how to give that feedback in a way that does not make the other person feel like they did something wrong. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, how might one do that? In my coaching sessions, I often will say that, you know, I've been coached to get better at email, because there's the way that you show up face to face in person, and it shows your personality. You're able to ask questions, you're able to smile. All of these things go into communication signals that'll reassure the other person that, like, you're a friendly person, or, you know, you mean no harm. But the thing about email is that all those things get stripped away. And so when you respond to someone and you say, you know, you shouldn't have sent that, I wish you hadn't sent it, and it's in written form, it hurts more than you probably intended to. So one way to think about that is to say, okay, well, you know, I would not have sent the email, but I recognize that this person is new and probably does not have the history, does not have the context. Let me take a day and really think about how I'm going to approach this. Not only the words that I'm going to say, but also the format for the communication. Depending on the severity of the situation, you may want to really think about the best way to make sure that the space that you've created for the conversation is neutral. If you're sending an invitation, even being very careful with the subject title and making sure that it's immediate, right? Or as close to the moment that the situation occurred as possible, not waiting 1 week later, 2 weeks later to have this conversation. So in this particular situation, a phone call if possible, or even a quick message saying, hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about so-and-so's message. Giving that person, the caller in this case, an opportunity to say, oh, you know, tell me what happened there. And then carefully positioning your feedback as much as you can in the form of questions. That's the way forward that has proven to be most successful for me. But really, this conversation is less about the coaching for managers and more about the individual in this situation who is feeling smaller as a result of this kind of feedback. And so this is where I think there's the moment to first feel the pain. I'm not going to ever tell somebody, get over it as quickly as you can, just move past it, or shove that feeling all the way down and move ahead, keep on going. No, I think all too often people are given messages to push forward when there is pain. So feel that little bit of a sting. The second thing people don't often do is to try and seek guidance or just a gut check from people you're close to. Now, that may be difficult when you're joining a new team. You don't have your allies to ask how, you know, what would you have done differently? What's going on here? And so as much as you can, turn to trusted friends or colleagues or people that you might have gone to school with to just play out this scenario. It creates space between that moment and your response that allows you to reflect and also just get another opinion that may be balancing. It may be validating as well, but it may balance your perspective. And, you know, sometimes when we are going through the emotion, we need somebody who's not attached to it, who is more objective, to be able to bring balance to us. The third thing is to ask yourself the question, is there feedback inside of this feedback that's not being stated? In the event that all you received was an email reprimand or an email piece of feedback, having the courage to actually schedule time with the person who delivered the feedback and say, hey, thank you so much for that. It wasn't my intention. I didn't know the dynamics here. Help me understand why. Can you explain to me a little bit more around just the nuances of like how this team communicates, and most importantly, what I should have done differently, or what I should do differently in the future should something else very similar happen? The beauty of this third step is that what you're doing is that you're displaying gratitude. It may have hurt, but you know, there's something there. But you're also taking a little bit of the control for your own destiny into your own hands by telling that person, I want to learn. Like, you know, if there's something here that I missed completely, because perhaps it was a decision that was already made and this particular emailer didn't know it. Or it could be something as simple as, in this organization, within this culture, no matter who the email is addressed to, the higher up always responds first. Like, if that is an aspect of the way that your team makes decisions that you need to know about, better to use that conversation to suss it out in a very friendly, unassuming way. It'll be up to you, of course, after getting the response to that question, to decide if that makes you feel okay, uncomfortable, if you want to, you know, dig in more, like, why is it that way? And if you're somebody who has strong opinions because you've had all this experience that makes you an expert in your particular subject matter, and you want a place to share it, I think, again, it's up to you to work that out with your manager or the person who gave the feedback and ask the question, this is a thing that makes me me. I am my most productive self when I'm able to share my thoughts on what I know. I recognize that I have a lot to learn in this new team, in this new company, in this new environment, but I absolutely want to give back. Help me understand how best to do it. Can you be my ally? Can you be my guide? And the magical thing that happens when you do that is that you are disarming the feedback giver, your manager, whomever that is, in a way that says, I can't do this alone. I'm not a know-it-all. I don't know everything. You know, I really want your help. And so there is this sort of subtle educating of that person that's happening through that brave moment of conversation. And so it's really, really important that those three steps, I think, are followed. I'll repeat them again. So the first thing is to feel the pain, to give yourself the time and space to feel the sting. Don't react. Don't respond. Give it 24 hours, but just, you know, look in the mirror and acknowledge that, like, that didn't feel good. But don't let it stop there. Don't squish the feelings somewhere deep and dark or try to move past them too quickly. The next step I would summarize as call a friend. Step two is find a group of people or a person who perhaps you can trust in the organization. Or, as I said, if it's too new and you haven't made those allies, you know, turn to the people you went to school with, or, you know, someone who may have worked with you at a previous job whom you admire, and just play out the scenario to them and ask the question, you know, am I crazy? Like, is this a thing that is, you know, a little unsettling to you as well? And that'll offer you either, you know, additional perspective, validation that the feelings that you have are indeed, you know, the ones that others might have as well, but also a balance, because sometimes there are things that we feel that others are like, actually, no, I think that was not a strong enough reaction or an overreaction. The third thing is try and find that space, if one isn't offered to you, to have an honest conversation that is driven by questions to really see clarity. What was it about this particular email? Was it the fact that I responded? Was it the contents? What am I missing? Is it the way that this particular team comes to discussion and decisions? Help me understand how I can contribute. And I guess part of that, one might call it a fourth step, is to really say or leave that conversation with, this is who I am. I am still learning and growing. However, I am my best self when I am doing this. And in this case, it's contributing. It's sharing thoughts based on expertise. And so saying to the feedback giver, where can I do this in a safe way, in a way that doesn't disrupt perhaps the ways of discussing and coming to decisions in this team, I think is a really, really helpful way to move forward. Okay. So let's go back for a moment to the place where I asked us to pause.
I feel like he may have felt threatened to some extent, but he could have handled it a different way.
It's interesting that the word threatened or the words may have felt threatened were used here. And I think this is something that if I was having a one-on-one coaching session, I would dive really deeply into to understand what signals the caller had that the feedback deliverer may have felt threatened. But what I want to share with all of you listening is that it's important when you have that clearing conversation with the feedback giver to suspend all words that might suggest judgment. I think that using the SBI technique, which is situation, behavior, impact, has proven really successful for me in conversations where I've had to sort of approach something that felt like there might be some tension. And I know that those who have sought counsel in me have also appreciated it. But basically what you might say is, during this moment, or in this case, when you sent this email, after I had sent my email, which I guess is both the situation and the behavior, and the impact statement always begins with I felt whatever. What you do is that you remove all judgment. It's not about this person, their personality, or even the way that they exist. What you're doing is that you're being clear with facts. This was the situation. We were talking about this. These emails came forward directed to me. The behavior, in this case, this feedback giver's response and the impact it had on you. And starting that statement with the first person, I felt this way. So it's a really great way to have non-defensive conversations, hopefully. And I think has proven, as I said before, to be something that is not only successful, but I think it just sort of like diffuses the atmosphere a little bit, because it's not about people, it's just about the situation. And I think the only person that you're bringing up is yourself and how you felt, how that particular thing made you feel. And so I'm going to close today's conversation. Thank you to the caller for being brave enough to share her story of being a beautiful misfit. I hope that the guidance that I shared today resonates with some of you. So let's build a community around Culture Unfit. Join me on Twitter if you'd like to join the conversation around today's episode. You can also share your own stories with me from there too. And if you liked today's episode, please share it with two or three friends who might find it useful. And super big love to Dan Sachs, who wrote our wonderful theme music. I'm Nikia Rivyak. Till the next time.